Part 3. Home. Silo 1. 36. Charlotte leaned away from the radio, stunned. She stared at the crackling speaker, listened to the hiss of static, and played the scene over and over in her head. An open door, toxic air leaking in, people dying, a stampede, a silo gone. A silo her brother had labored to save was gone. Her hand trembled as she reached for the dial. Flipping through channels, she heard other voices from other silos, little snippets of conversation and silence with no context, proof that elsewhere life continued apace.
Second time this month this has happened. You let Carol know. If you'll hold her for me until I get there, I'd sure appre- Roger that. We have her in custody now.
Bouts of static between these conversations held the place of silos full of dead air. Silos full of the dead. Charlotte dialed back to 18. The repeaters were still working up and down that silo. She could tell from the hiss. She listened for that voice to return, the woman calling for everyone to head to the bottom levels. Charlotte had heard someone say her name. It was strange to think she'd heard the voice of this woman her brother was obsessed with, this rogue mayor, as he called her, this cleaner come home. It could have been someone else, but Charlotte didn't think so. Those were commands from someone in charge. She imagined a woman huddling down in the depths of a distant silo, someplace dark and lonely, and felt a sudden kinship. What she wouldn't give to be able to transmit rather than just listen, some way to reach out. Leaning forward, she rubbed the side of the radio where the mic would wire up. It was suspicious that her brother saved this part for last, almost as if he didn't trust her not to speak with someone, almost as if he wanted her simply to listen. Or maybe it was himself he was worried about. Perhaps he didn't trust what he would do if he could broadcast his thoughts over the air. This wasn't the heads of the silos listening in. This was anyone with a radio. Charlotte patted her chest and felt for the ID he had given her, and images flashed before her of a boot rising and falling, of a wall and a floor spotted with blood. In the end, he hadn't been given a chance. But she had to do something. She couldn't sit there listening to static forever, listening to people die. Donnie said her ID would work the lifts. The urge to take action was overpowering. She powered the radio down and covered it with a sheet of plastic. She arranged the chair so it appeared undisturbed and studied the drone control room for signs of habitation. Back at her bunk, she opened her trunk and studied the outfits. She chose Reactor Red. It fitted her more loosely than the others. Pulling it out, she inspected the name patch. Stan. She could be a Stan. She got dressed and went to the storeroom. There was plenty of grease to be had from the disassembled drone. She collected some on her palm, searched one of the supply bins for a cap, and went to the bathroom. The men's room. Charlotte used to enjoy putting on makeup. That seemed like a different lifetime, a different person. She remembered moving from playing video games to trying to be pretty, shading her cheeks so they didn't look so chubby. This was before basic training made her lean and hard for a brief time. It was before two tours of duty helped her to regain her natural body, get used to that body, accept it, even love it. She used the grease to de-accentuate her cheekbones. A little on her eyebrows made them appear fuller. A foul-tasting smear on her lips so they weren't so red. It was the opposite of any makeup job she'd ever applied. She stuffed her hair inside the cap and pulled the brim down low, adjusted her coveralls until those looked like folds of fabric rather than breasts. It was a pathetic disguise. She saw through it immediately. But then she knew. In a world where women weren't allowed, would any suspect? She wasn't sure. She couldn't know. She longed for Donnie to be there so she could ask him. She imagined him laughing at her, which was nearly enough to make her cry. "Don't you fucking cry," she told the mirror, dabbing at her eyes. She was worried what the crying might do to her makeup. But the tears came anyway. They came and disturbed nothing. They were drops of water gliding over grease. There was a schematic somewhere. Charlotte searched Donnie's folder of notes by the radio and didn't see it. She tried the conference room where her brother had spent much of his time poring through boxes of files. The place was a wreck. Most of his notes had been hauled off. They must be planning on coming back for the rest, probably in the morning. Or they could arrive right then, and Charlotte would have to explain what she was doing there.
"I was sent down here to retrieve,
Her lowered voice sounded ridiculous. She shuffled through the open folders and loose pages and tried again, this time with her normal voice, just slightly flattened. "I was told to take this to recycling," she explained to nobody. "Oh, and what level is recycling on?" she asked herself. "I have no fucking clue," she admitted. "That's why I'm looking for a map." She found a map. It wasn't the right one, though. A grid of circles with red lines radiating out to a single point. She only knew it was a map because she recognized the layout with its grid of letters down the side and numbers across the top. The Air Force had once assigned daily targets on grids like these. She would grab a bagel and coffee in the mess hall, and then a man and his family from D4 would die in a fiery maelstrom. Break for lunch. Ham and cheese on rye. Charlotte recognized the circles laid out across the grid. It was the silos. She had flown 3 drones over depressions and hills just like this. The red lines were odd. She traced one with her finger. It reminded her of flight lines. They extended off every silo except for the one near the center, which she thought might be the one she was in. Donald had shown her this layout once on the big table, the one now buried under the loose pages. She folded the map and stuffed it into her breast pocket and kept looking. The Silo 1 schematic she had seen before seemed lost, but she found the next best thing, a directory. It listed personnel by rank, shift assignment, occupation, living level, and work level. It was the size of a phone book for a small town, a reminder of how many people were taking turns running the silo. Not people, men. Scanning the names, Charlotte saw that it was all men. She thought of Sasha, the only other woman who'd gone through boot camp with her. Strange to think that Sasha was dead, that all the men in her regiment, everyone from flight school, all of them were dead. She found the name of a reactor mechanic in his work level, looked for a pen amid the chaos, found one, and jotted the level number down. Administration, she discovered, was on level 34. A comms officer worked on the same level, which sucked. She hated to think of the comm room right down the hall from the people who ran the joint. A security officer worked on 12. If Donnie was being held, maybe he'd be there. Unless they'd put him back to sleep. Unless he was in whatever passed for a hospital there. Cryo was down below, she thought. She remembered coming up the lift after he'd woken her. She found the level for the main cryo office by locating someone who worked there. But that probably wasn't where the bodies were kept. Was it? Her notes became a mess of scribbles, a rough outline of what was where above and below her. But where to start in her search? She couldn't find mention of the supply and spares rooms her brother had been raiding, probably because no one actually worked on those levels. Starting over on a fresh piece of paper, she drew a cylinder and made the best schematic she could, filling in the floors she knew from Donnie's routine and the ones from the directory. Starting with the cafeteria at the very top, she worked her way down to the cryo office, which was as far down as her notes took her. The empty levels were her best bet. Some of those would be storerooms and warehouses. But the lift could just as easily open to a room full of men playing cards, or whatever it was they did to kill the time while they killed the world. She couldn't just roll the dice. She needed a plan. She studied the map and considered her options. One place, for sure, would have a mic, and that was the comm room. She checked the clock on the wall. 6:25. Dinner time and end of shift. Lots of people moving about. Charlotte touched her face where she had smudged grease to dull her cheekbones. She wasn't thinking straight. Probably shouldn't go anywhere until after 11. Or was it better to be lost in a jostling crowd? What was out there? She paced and debated.
I don't know, she said, testing her new voice. It sounded like she had a cold.
That was the best way to sound male, like she had a cold. She returned to the storeroom and studied the lift doors. Someone could burst out right then, and her decision would be made for her. She should wait until later. Returning to the drones, she pulled the tarp off the one she'd been working on and studied the loose panels and scattering of tools. Glancing back at the conference room, she saw Donnie curled there on the floor, trying to fend off the kicks with his shins, 2 men holding him down, a man who could barely stand, landing sickening blows. Picking up a driver, Charlotte slotted it into one of the tool pouches on her coveralls. Not sure what to do, she got to work on the drone, killing time. She would go out later that night, when there were fewer people up and less chance of being spotted. First, she would get the next machine ready to fly. Donnie wasn't there, his work lay unfinished, but she could soldier on. She could piece things back together, one bolt and one nut at a time. And that night, she would go out and find the part she needed. She would win back her voice and reach out to those people in that stricken silo, if any of them were still alive.